live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. This is the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Health Minister Simon Harris is under pressure despite the Taoiseach expressing confidence in him. Talks are continuing at the Labour Court this evening in a bid to resolve the nurses' dispute with the government. It's emerged bed numbers have fallen by 25% in Donegal's community hospitals over the past 15 years, with a corresponding 25% fall in the number of nurses working in them. And the Letterkenny Institute of Technology president says a funding package announced this week to boost flexible learning is an important step in the formation of a technological university. All these stories to come, plus sports news with Oisin. He'll be here at 5:15. Good evening. The Health Minister Simon Harris's job is under pressure despite the Taoiseach expressing confidence in him. A number of TDs have called on Minister Harris to resign over his handling of the overrun at the National Children's Hospital. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
It's emerged that Health Minister Simon Harris knew in August last year that there was the threat of a €400 million overrun in the cost of the National Children's Hospital, but he didn't tell other ministers about the problem for at least 7 more weeks. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has defended his minister.
I have absolute confidence in Simon Harris as minister. He's somebody who's delivered. He delivered on the repeal of the Eighth Amendment. He delivered at long last on important legislation around the Public Health Alcohol Bill. So I have every confidence in Minister Harris.
Simon Harris says he was using that time frame to get an idea of what the final costs would be, but Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty says he needs to go.
Clearly what it does is it paints a picture of a minister that's out of his depth, and it's clear to us in Sinn Féin, as I believe it is to the public out there, that his position is now untenable.
Much will hinge on what Fianna Fáil decide to do. Sean Fleming's their only TD to put his head above the parapet and call for Minister Harris's resignation, but he's not alone in his party in wanting that. How to force a minister to resign without breaking the confidence and supply agreement and collapsing the government is something Fianna Fáil strategist will put a lot of thought into this weekend.
Talks are continuing at the Labour Court this evening to try and resolve the nurses' dispute with the government. Nurses say next week's strikes will go ahead unless discussions on pay take place. The Labour Court has been meeting the INMO, the HSC and government officials for the past 5 hours in a bid to find common ground between the sides and avoid 3 days of industrial action from Tuesday to Thursday, which would affect over 80,000 patients, according to the HSE. The INMO is demanding a 12% pay increase for nurses, which the government says it can't afford. Well, the General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, Patricia King, says the government's approach to this must change.
I think it's just important to say that the usefulness or success or otherwise of this process today will very much depend on whether or not the employer in this case is prepared to change the narrative that they've had to date, which is no to everything.
It's emerged that bed numbers have fallen by 25% in Donegal's community hospitals over the past 15 years, with a corresponding 25% fall in the number of nurses working in them. The HSE has confirmed that beds in the community hospitals in Bunkrana, Carndonagh, Rumelton, Lifford, Stranorr, Falkara and Dunloe fell from a high of 350 in 2004 to 261 today. The figures were given to Senator Padraig McLaughlin, who says despite a commitment of funding to meet HICWA standards, there are no commitments to increase bed numbers.
The Health Information and Quality Authority regularly go through the hospitals and look at the situation there, and they have forced the government over the next few years to invest millions in upgrading Bunkrana, Carndonagh, St Joseph's Stranorr and Remelton hospitals. But despite those millions that are being invested, not one single additional bed will be created at those hospitals. So this is continual government policy to strip resources from our community hospitals. We need to challenge this, and we need to be honest with the people of Donegal about all of this.
Letterkenny Institute of Technology President Paul Hannigan says a funding package announced this week to boost flexible learning in the region is an important step in the formation of a technological university which incorporates LOI IT, Sligo IT and Galway Mayo IT. The Letterkenny College is leading the project with just under €3 million allocated under the new Higher Education Innovation and Transformation Fund. Paul Hannigan says this is an important programme for the three members of the Connacht Ulster Alliance.
What we decided to do was with our partners in the Connacht Ulster Alliance, IT Sligo and GMIT, to make a submission to look at improving delivery methods of programmes within the institutions. So we're talking about flexible delivery, work-based learning, online learning, those sort of areas. The funding coming through this will support us very strongly in terms of developing that and also in terms of staff development to support that activity.
The involvement of Sligo and GMIT, very important, because obviously the Connaught Ulster Alliance is moving towards technological university status, and this is going to be another step in that onward journey.
Well, I think this is a really important one, Donal. We took the lead in it, which is important from our perspective, but we have very strong support from both other institutions. We're saying we're stronger together in this particular area and we can all benefit from it. And as well as that, it's the first major collaborative project that has been funded across the three institutions.
And as you say, Letterkenny is taking the lead. That's a vote of confidence in yourselves and a statement of intent to a certain extent that Letterkenny is very much going to be front and centre when it comes to this ongoing progress towards a TU.
We've been working very closely with the other two partners now over the last number of years. Especially in the last 6 months, there's been a refocusing of energy in terms of driving this. And also we can see now through, we will have the publication of our new strategic plan this year, and that will make a very strong commitment as to what we want to achieve. We're very conscious within that of developing a technological university model that deals with our own regional needs as well. And that's going to be reflected very strongly in our strategic plan.
And that was Paul Hannigan, the president of LOAIT. The DUP's meeting with the Taoiseach has been described as helpful. Arlene Foster says Leo Varadkar listened to their concerns surrounding the backstop, as well as the Brady Amendment, which was voted for in the UK Parliament. It would see the current backstop proposals replaced with alternative arrangements. Mr. Varadkar is to meet with the British Prime Minister Theresa May this evening. This afternoon, Arlene Foster rejected the idea of a border poll, and she claimed some people are deliberately adopting scare tactics around the border issue.
There won't be a border poll, and there is an element now of Project Fear ongoing, and I think we have to recognise that. But thirdly, we want to get a deal. That's what we're engaged in at the moment, trying to get a deal that will be acceptable to members in the House of Commons.
As Storm Eric continues to rage over Donegal, the ESB are dealing with two outages in the county. 77 homes and businesses are without power in Chrysler. 38 are without power in the Bundoran area. The ESB is hoping to restore supplies within the next hour or two. Meanwhile, motorists are being urged to slow down and be on the lookout for debris on the northwest's roads this evening. A high-level meeting in Derry has heard calls for the progression of the medical school at the McGee campus of Ulster University. The meeting was convened by the Mayor, John Boyle. It was attended by representatives of all the North's parties, as well as the Foyle MP and senior academics from the university. Mayor John Boyle says recent attempts by the Northern Secretary to address the consequences of the impasse at Stormont may provide a short-term answer to the delay in getting the medical school up and running.
Time is moving on, the clock is ticking. There's a great ambition and desire, certainly from a City and District Council perspective, and indeed from an Ulster University and Queen's University perspective, that the medical school should be progressed and progressed as quickly as possible. And I'm very pleased to note that all of those leaders present, all parties who were represented this morning, agreed that the development of the medical school and the expansion of McGee University are intrinsically linked, and that they can and will contribute to the overall growth of the city region alongside our city deal proposals. A medical school will be an essential resource for the North West, with the potential to boost the region's profile as a centre for clinical excellence and innovation, in tandem with pioneering research work that's currently taking place at Alt McGavin.
The perception has been that the medical school was all but signed, sealed and delivered. All it needed was ministerial approval. The collapse of Stormont meant that couldn't happen, and that is the only stumbling block. That is the only thing stopping that school from progressing. With that in mind, is there any way that the Northern Secretary's initiative to pass new legislation can help here?
Yes, and actually that's the interesting perspective of it. The Secretary of State did give room for civil servants to make decisions when it is in the public interest to make that decision, and it is my view, and indeed that view shared by all of the party leaders, that making decisions in relation to the advancement of the medical school at the McGee campus will indeed be in the public interest.
And that was the Mayor of the Derry City and Strabane region, John Boyle. There are further calls for job path to be shut down. It's after a decision by the government this week to continue to support the controversial job activation scheme. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle believes that outsourcing social welfare services to the private sector has wreaked havoc for job seekers. In the Dáil, he said the issue is prevalent in Donegal. He said the scheme simply isn't working.
Based on 2015 and 2016 figures, I revealed that job paths and pact only increase the chances of getting full-time employment by 2% for unemployed people. That's from the department's own figures. It surely is a great return on the money that's invested in it. And figures for part-time work do improve, but it means that work for these people will often result in seasonal, precarious and low-wage employment. So low are these wages that the state regularly steps in to subsidise their income through the Family Income Supplement, Part-Time Job Seekers Benefit and Job Seekers Allowance. This is a very, very common in Donegal. Job path is a reflection of where Ireland's welfare policy is going. Instead of social welfare being seen as a right, welfare is now seen of as a transaction, and the entitlement to welfare being replaced by a quasi-contract called the Record of Mutual Commitments.
And that was Deputy Thomas Pringle there. One of the founding members of Donegal County Council's Islands Committee has hit out at Minister Michael Ring after he again failed to set aside money for local improvement schemes on offshore islands. Seamus Rogers, a former Labour councillor, says road schemes on islands cost almost twice as much as those on the mainland. He says he's asked Minister Ring several times to ring fence money for LAS schemes on the islands, but the Minister, he says, is ducking the issue.
I brought it up at the last Islands Committee meeting. I'm just frustrated. In all fairness to the members of the Islands Committee, they backed it all right and they carried it through to the County Council. But as yet, nothing has happened. And I feel for the people on the islands there that they're second-class citizens.
Meanwhile, people are being reminded there's just 1 week to go for applications to be submitted for the LAS scheme. It's anticipated further funding for local improvement schemes will be made available later this year. The closing date for applications for the year is this day week. Councillor James Pat MacDade says it's vital that there are a lot of applications in.
I think the more applications we get in, the stronger case we have of going to the government for more money as well, because we have got an allocation of over 600,000 for this year, which was announced this week, but it's far short of what is really needed in Donegal, and I think the more applications that's put in, it's more realistic of what we need, and hopefully the government will look at it that way, because over 600,000, you know, it's millions. We need probably to cover all the roads. I know that probably the manpower wouldn't be there to do it in 1 year, but I think a larger allocation is most certainly needed. But just to encourage all the constituents that do qualify for the LAS to get their applications in before next Friday and make sure that they're in with a chance of being in the recognition for funding this year.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Make your Shop LK gift card go further with an additional 20% bonus on all Shop LK vouchers.
5:15, we say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games, and the Sigerson Cup semi-final meeting of NUA Galway and UCC has been moved to Sunday, February 17th. The change in date is at the request of NUIG, who have two players involved in the All-Ireland Club Football semi-finals the day before. Kieran Molloy plays with the reigning champions Cora Finn, who of course take on Donegal and Ulster champions Gweedore on Saturday the 16th of February in Carrig-in-Shannon. That now means Molloy will be available for that game. Back to the Sigerson, and Mallow will also host the other semi-final, which sees UCD against St Mary's. That goes ahead on the Saturday the 16th as planned, with a 3 p.m. throw-in time. Corrifan's Liam Silk is involved with UCD, but has yet to indicate who he will play for. After last weekend's fantastic victory at Croke Park, the Donegal senior ladies are sticking with the same 15 for this Sunday's game against Mayo in Convoy. Maxie Kern has named an unchanged lineup from the major upset against Dublin. Mayo, who also won on the opening weekend, will also be unchanged for the game, which throws in at 2 o'clock at the St Mary's Club. As for the men, they are on the road once again, heading back into Munster. This time around, it's Tipperary as the opposition, and Donegal are making a rare trip to Semple Stadium in Thurles. They'll be looking to make it 3-1 from 3 and maintain their top position in the top of Division 2 as they head into the break. Manager Declan Bonner says Tipperary will cause them problems on Sunday.
I mean, Tipperary have been thereabouts. They're in that top 10 in the country, very close to breaking into the top 8. You know, Liam Cairns has been there now and number number of seasons, very, very good manager. They have a number of very, very good players. If you look at their full forward line, you have Philip Austin, you have Conor Sweeney, probably one of the top footballers, forwards in the country. You have Kennedy, Jack Kennedy in the corner. You have O'Brien in the middle of the park, good player. They have a good, strong all-round side. So again, it's an away match. It's going to be another big test for us, but it's one we're capable of winning if we can get those performance levels to where we know we can get them. As I said, we're getting there maybe for spells in matches, but not long enough in terms of, as I say, we just need to be more consistent.
And there will, of course, be full live match commentary from that game on Sunday, Tipperary against Donegal. Myself and Martin McHugh will be live as from 1:45 on Highland Sunday Sport. The rest of the Northwest counties are also involved in league action. Tyrone have lost their opening two matches. They'll be looking for a vital win this coming weekend, and they're on the road as well. Mickey Hartside going to Roscommon. It throws in at 2 o'clock at Dr. Hyde Park, with the weekend's games in Division 1 starting tomorrow night. Two interesting ties. Kerry play Dublin and Mayo take on Cavan. And Derry have had a good start in Division 4. They've won their opening two matches, and they're looking to make it 3 in the bounce this weekend as well. In Division 4, they're playing Waterford on Sunday. That game has been changed to Dungarvan, and there's an earlier throw-in time now to that one of 12:30pm. Abbey Vocational School from Donegal Town will play St Columns of Derry in this season's Ulster Schools Marquee Cup Final. St Columns beat Donegal's Collegeton at Carriga 116-3-7 in the second semi-final this afternoon at the Melvin Complex in Strabane. Abbey, of course, won their semi-final on Thursday, beating St Kieran's by 2 points in Irvinestown. Turning now to rugby, and Ireland's Six Nations weekend in Scotland starts tonight. Ireland's women's side will look to recover from last weekend's hammering at the hands of England when they face the hosts in Scotstoun this evening. Laura Feely from Ballybuffet will once again line out in the front row for Ireland there, while the Ireland under-20s face their Scottish counterparts at Netherdale tonight too. The big game, of course, is tomorrow. The men's are taking on Scotland. Scotland currently lead the way at the top of the standings in the Six Nations. Ireland looking for a first win after their defeat to England last week. In the meantime there, if you have confirmed that Devon Toner has undergone surgery on that injured ankle, the second row will be out for 2 months, ruling him out of the rest of the Six Nations campaign. Ireland captain Rory Best concedes Toner's loss is a blow.
He'll be a loss, as any great player is, but when these things happen, it gives an opportunity to somebody else, and Quinn Roo I thought was great when he came on. He showed a lot of physicality. He's been playing very well for Connacht, and you know, this is going to be a massive opportunity for him, and also a big opportunity for James Ryan to step up and also lead in that second row.
In other rugby news, Ulster are set to sign South African-born Warwickshire Warriors prop Gareth Misilovic. The 26-year-old qualifies for Ireland through his grandfather Norman McFarlane, a former Ulster player. He's expected to join the Northern Province in the summer. Now to soccer. Following a meeting of the Independent Club Licensing Committee of the Football Association of Ireland, 20 licences have been awarded for the 2019 SSE Air Trusty League season. Among them are the three North West clubs. Finn Harps, Derry City and Sligo Rovers have all been granted Premier Division licences for the season ahead. That season, of course, kicks off next Friday night, the 15th of February. And in a build-up to that date, we'll have two parts of a League of Ireland season preview this coming weekend here on Highland Radio on Saturday and Sunday Sport, both starting shortly after 5. Tomorrow, Saturday, we'll hear from Aidan Fitzmaurice, who is the soccer correspondent with the Herald and the Irish Independent, plus Remelton man Kyle Callum McFadden, who of course plays his soccer with Sligo Rovers. And then on Sunday Sport after 5, we'll hear from the managers of the two local clubs, of course Finn Harps, Ollie Horgan and Declan Devine of Derry City. Big preview of the soccer ahead this weekend here in Highland. Harps will continue their preparation, of course, tomorrow afternoon. They're heading to play Athlone Town in another pre-season friendly. It's due to kick off at 4 o'clock. Shamrock Rovers goalkeeper Gavin Bazunu has completed his move to Manchester City ahead of schedule. The Premier League leaders agreed a deal with Rovers to sign the teenage stopper in October, and he was expected to remain at the Tallaght club until the completion of his leaving cert. However, Rovers now say arrangements have been made to accommodate the 16-year-old's studies in Manchester. In the Irish League Premiership, action continues tomorrow afternoon with 6 games down for decision. Among them, Institute are taking on Ballymena United. Ballymena will be heading to the Brandywell to play a Stoot side who have a different man in charge this week. Kevin Doherty's taking temporary charge off the club. That, of course, is following the departure of Paddy McLaughlin earlier this week. Among the other ties too, Coleraine have a big game. They're making the trip to Belfast to take on the leaders, Linfield. The Knockalla Caravans Cup is taking centre stage locally this coming weekend. 7 matches to be played over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. 1 game actually tomorrow evening. Bunnygee United are taking on Castlefin Celtic as they get the latest round of games up and running, with the rest of the games on Sunday. And Fin Harps against Derry City Reserves will take place this coming Monday night. FAI Youth Interleague competition tomorrow. It's a crucial game for Donegal. They're playing Mayo at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. It's due to kick off at 2 o'clock, and Donegal go into the game knowing that they need a victory if they are to reach the quarterfinals of the competition. There's a game cross-channel tonight, the Championship. Sheffield United to go on Aston Villa at Villa Park. That one starts at 7:45. A victory there would move Sheffield into the top two in the standings. Republic of Ireland under 17 head coach Colm O'Brien has named a 20-man squad for next week's international friendly doubleheader in Spain. Once again, Ronan McKinley of Derry City has been named in an under-17 panel for that one. The Galway International Rally returns on Sunday after a year away from the Irish Tarmac Championship. The eagerly awaited event will start the series with a hugely impressive entry. The top 25 is full of R5 cars and is the most exciting lineup in a Galway rally in over 10 years. Craig Breen and Gary Jennings are the top two seeds, but they'll be followed on the entry by the household names of Irish motorsport. The likes of the Moffats are there. Plus, there's Donegal men, Declan Boyle, Donald Kelly, Manus Kelly, and Joe McGonigal. And leading the way in the modified seeds, the inclusion there of Damien Tourish and Stuart Darcy. It's a huge weekend of rally, and Galway is now a one-day event on Sunday. Tomorrow on Saturday Sport, you can tune Highlands Way. We'll be speaking to Killian Duffy to look ahead to the Galway 2019. In golf, Graham McDowell looks to continue his charge at the top of the leaderboard in the second day of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am in California. He's leading the Irish Challenge and he's 3 shots off the lead, sitting at 4 under after an opening round 68 last night. The leaders are Brian Gay and Scott Langley. Shane Lowry is at 1 under. And another Ulster man, Michael Hoey, is going well in Australia. He holds a share of 9th place at the halfway stage of the Vic Open. He sits at 10 under par, and that's 4 shots behind the joint leaders, Jason Scrutineer and Nick Flanagan. Paul Dunne is a further shot back at 9 under, excuse me. So that's it from the sports desk for today here on Highlands. Our next action is tomorrow afternoon, Saturday Sport, with Chris Ashmore just after the 2 o'clock news. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Friday evening.
Thank you, Washing. The Taoiseach insists that tonight's meeting with the British Prime Minister Theresa May is not a negotiation. The two will have dinner in Farmley this evening, where Brexit and the Good Friday Agreement will be topics of conversation. Earlier, Mr. Radker met with the political parties in the North to get their views, but the Taoiseach says he won't be trying to reach a side deal on the backstop with Theresa May tonight.
No, it isn't a day for negotiations, because when it comes to Brexit, this is a negotiation which has the United Kingdom government on one side and the European Union with Ireland on the other. We're very much part of the 27, and any negotiations can only happen with Ireland working together with the 27 member states. But we can have discussions.
Agus an ish an nocht a léamh ag Colm Ferreter.
Seomhar mahas a Colm Ferreter an seán an príomh scéalta ar Highland Radio. Tá sé fógraí anú ar thaobh údaras na Gaeltachta go bhfuil ochtar oifige planála teanga, capaí a limistéar planála teanga ar fud na tíre. Maidir leis an tuairisc is léire den dul chun cinn na taigeanta ag an próiseas planála teanga le Hamilton Lewis. Is iad na ceanna gríochtaí a óstaíonn na hafagaí le budget plana plian túil de 100 milli euro ná 100 milli euro ar fáil do na cean agriachtaí chun an flannel teanga a chur i bhaim ina gceantar hin. Ag deireadh na bliana dheimhidas a thairtead bhí plán teanga réitithe agus cadaithe de leacht na limistéir, agus tá an éistíocht de 1.5 milliún euro cadaithe de féiniú na blanála sin, agus beidh fástaíocht díre de seart post déag i gceist le arcu oifigí planála teanga agus oifigí cúnta. Tá thar ag súil go mbeidh suas le fichas a cathair plán teanga a gcur i bhfeidhm agus in trí limistéir agus fi agus balla service gealtach tá wine fui jaru na bliana seo. Go háitiúil tá don lu chanab si agus Aisín McCulloch fástithe ag chóir chumann gídóir agus Michal Mackey ag pobl as cara. Tagan an ócáid trasna na donta imeacht de chuid Conor na Gaeilge a chruthaíonn siber gealtacht ar líne chun jaru inniu. Le linn na seachtainne seo rinne ran fáirtithe tweetal as Gaeilge agus iad agus seid an hashclub trasna na donta cominic agus is féidir. Beid thascuracht ón ír húsgirt i leithar ag brána dúisi na náisiún tú glór na gael san ír bhí san ihe mara díri le chaistí farbarthe croc fola anad níf Padraig Dór coltar lání canan agus líonra leitir canan ahantas a wintsach mórtas bliantúl do chuid glór na gael le aislein ran na farstiat san omaíocht don fríomh dúis a vrántar ag an ochaid agus cóhardiahas leo elig agus tá sprach dátal fógrithe don scéim Jontas Colum Killa ar an inne an darna lá is fiad a mí Marta dim dhíon seo agus tá sé mar aim ag an scéim caidir bh chothú idir pobl teanga Gaeilge na Halloween agus na hÉirinn agus taíir do thuirt don na teangathe mar aon. Tuiliú eolais ag Forest na Gaeilge Bunk IE agus sin mo chuid se i go léir slán agus barracht.
Go raibh agus Colum. Well, the forecast for this evening, very windy with Storm Erica tracking to the north, frequent blustery showers with a slight risk of a thundery burst, strong to gale force and very gusty southwesterly winds with some severe and damaging gusts in exposed areas, staying very windy or stormy overnight with widespread showers merging to longer spells of rain at times, a risk of thunder with minimum temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees Celsius, gale force westerly winds, possibly touching strong gale or storm force along exposed coasts with severe and damaging gusts overnight. Wind gradually abating tomorrow with sunny spells and scattered showers following. Highest temperatures tomorrow 5 to 8 in moderate to fresh westerly breezes but strong on exposed coastal areas. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Main stories in brief, and the pressure is on Simon Harris. His job is under threat despite the Taoiseach expressing confidence in him. A number of TDs have called on Minister Harris to resign over his handling of the overrun at the National Children's Hospital. Talks are continuing at the Labour Court. Meanwhile, in a bid to resolve the nurses' dispute with the government, nurses say next week's strikes will go ahead unless there are substantive discussions on pay. It's emerged bed numbers have fallen by 25% in Donegal's community hospitals over the past 15 years, with a corresponding 25% fall in the number of nurses working in them. Letterkenny Institute of Technology President Paul Hannigan says a funding package announced this week to boost flexible learning in the region is an important step in the formation of a technological university which incorporates LYIT, Sligo and Galway Mayo. We're back again with headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 8th of February. The death has taken place of Mosheen Elliott, née Loughlin, 10, Ardcullum Kill, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral on Sunday at 12 noon in St. Eunan's Cathedral, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Peggy Clancy, née Gallagher, Drumna Tumfer, Frosses, and formerly of Glengesh, Ardra. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon to 10 o'clock. Removal on Sunday morning for 10 o'clock funeral mass in the Church of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Frosses, with private cremation afterwards. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or John McGowan funeral directors. The house is private, please, on Sunday morning. The death has occurred of Eamon Clinton, Glasha, Fanad. His remains will repose at his home in Glasha from 6 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Fanavolte, with interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to St Vincent de Paul, care of any family member. The death has occurred of William Alexander Lexi McKay. Funeral service in Conwell Parish Church, Letterkenny, tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, followed by burial in Gortley Cemetery.
The death has taken place of Robert Smith, Millgrove Park, Eglinton. Wake underway in the annex of 34 Millgrove Park, Eglinton until 9 o'clock this evening. House private, please, at all other times. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow at 20 past 12. First service at 1 o'clock in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Racecourse Road, followed by burial in Ballyon Cemetery. No flowers, please, at Robert's request. Donations in his memory, if desired, to Foyle Family History Centre, care of W.J. O'Brien and Son Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of William Allen Loughlin, MBE, 46 Church Bray, Derry. Funeral from his home on Sunday afternoon at 1:15. First service in First Derry Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock, followed by a private committal in Aughagavlin Cemetery. House strictly private, please. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu if desired to Ward 42 or Ward 44, Aughagavlin Hospital. Inquiries to Adair and Neely Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Daniel Callaghan, 44, Close Patrick, Mallon Road, Carndonagh. His remains are reposing at Carndonagh Community Hospital Chapel of Rest, with viewing until 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Brendan McFadden, Moira, Falkara. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon to St Finian's Church, Falkara, for Requiem Mass at 1:30, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or McLaverty Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Carmel Maloney, Lochris Point, Ardra, formerly of Maharoe, County Sligo. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Mina McGettigan, née Keeney, Mill Road, Glenties. Her remains are reposing at her home with rosary at 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Connell's Church, Glenties, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Glenties Dementia Daycare, care of any family member.